नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled Status Quo, Chapter 21, entitled Conversation between Manu and Kardama, text number 35.
Ata samprastite sukle,
Kardama Bhagavan Rishi.
Astesma bindu sarasi
tam kalam pratipalayan ata samprastite sukle kardamo bhagavan rishi
astesma bindu sarasi
tam kalam pratipalayan ate samprastite sukle kardamo bhagavan rishi
astesma bindu sarasi
tam kalam pratipalayan
Word.
Ata then.
Samprastite sukle.
When the Lord had gone.
Kardama Muni.
Bhagavan.
The greatly powerful.
Rishi. Sage. Astesma stayed. Bindusarasi on the bank of lake Bindusarovar. Tam that. Kalam time. Pratipalayan waiting. Awaiting. Translation by Stephen Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. There is no purport to this verse. We'll go to the next verse. So translation for the verse 35. Then, after the departure of the Lord, the worshipful sage Kardama stayed on the bank of Bindu Sarovara, awaiting the time of which the Lord had spoken. Next verse, text 36. Translation. Swayambhuva Manu with his wife mounted his chariot, which was decorated with golden ornaments. Placing his daughter on it with them, he began travelling all over the earth. Purport. The emperor Manu, as the great ruler of the world, could have engaged an agent to find a suitable husband for his daughter. But because he loved her just as a father should, he himself left his state on a golden chariot with only his wife to find a suitable husband. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Tatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Hamsadana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಸರಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಶೇರ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಗೇವ್ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಟು ಕರ್ದಮ ಮುನಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ 23 till the previous verse. And here we see Kardama Muni was staying on the bank of Bindu Sarovar and waiting for the time which the Lord had spoken. So when the Lord appeared, the Lord had said to Kardama that day after tomorrow, Swayambhuva Manu and Satrupa will come in there with their daughter. And so he is waiting for that time. So we see this section when the prayers of Kardama and also the response of the Lord basically deal with desires. So when Kardama was praying for a suitable girl which of equal disposition in, you know, so that he can perform bhakti or he can following the footstep, you know, order of Brahma. So we see the Lord actually arranged the first verse when the Lord was speaking. He is saying, I've already arranged a suitable girl. And in that, Prabhupada writes that the Lord never disappoint, like he never disappoint his pure devotee in terms of desire, but at the same time, he'll make sure that it is not detrimental to the path of bhakti. So in that way, like, Kardama was want a girl, but he didn't approach Uma for a beautiful wife. So he directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the response of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is overwhelming, because the girl which Kardama got is way beyond his expectation. Is the princess of the emperor, Swayambhuva Manu daughter. And all good qualities we can see further down in a section where Devahuti, daughter of Kardama Muni, how she is serving tirelessly Kardama Muni. She practically became thin and, you know, like emaciated with hard service, because Kardama was a sage. He was practicing 10,000 years meditation before getting into Grihastha Ashram. So he was, you know, he performed severe austerities. So Devahuti, at the other hand, was coming from a royal hood, royal family, like, you know, princess, Kshatriya dynasty. And even if you see the chariot, they're coming, is a you know, beautiful chariot, and they're bringing, she was not used to this kind of living. But we can see how the, you know, the arrangement of the Lord in such a way that she also have that, you know, humility to serve and then advance in the path of devotional service. So this is very interesting, because when we have desire and we try to fulfill by independent of Krishna, then we'll have misery and entangle in this material world. But the same desire, if we approach through Krishna, Krishna fulfill in such a way that there is a progression in bhakti. So we have to see, because Krishna, even Sukhdeva Goswami says in second canto that if you have desire, if you have no desire, if you have desire for liberation, or if you are full of desire, or if you don't have any desire, please worship Krishna. Because Krishna is one who makes sure that your desire is fulfilled in such a way that you don't develop further desire. So usually if we have desire, unfulfilled desire, then we'll get frustration, because the desires are not get fulfilled, and that leads to frustration. But then the second next verse, the Lord is saying there is no frustration because as the desires are fulfilled. So in that purpose, Prabhupada is writing there is two kinds of devotees. One with desires and one without desire. That is Sakama and Akama devotees. The Sakama devotees again classified into four. From Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter we can see that there are four kinds of people who are approaching Krishna. So one is with distress, one is with material gain, and another is inquisitive, and another want to know knowledge. These are four kinds of people approaching Krishna. They are not pure devotees. Prabhupada writes in the purport that these people are not pure devotees because they have some traces of material desire. They want some reciprocation. They want some. So, for the conditioned soul, this is the main impediment. For the conditioned soul, there is a desire to enjoy the result of a fruitative activities. They want to enjoy whatever they are doing, like, common we see, that is, what is in it for me. If I do certain activities, what I'll get out of it? I will get something out of it so that I can enjoy. This is a greatest impediment for the conditioned soul. And this actually keeps rooted in the material world. At the same time, performing bhakti or performing Krishna consciousness is, we want to develop this unconditional love towards Krishna. The desire, and that, but kardama is a separate, like it doesn't fall under that materially motivated. Because when the Lord he was reading the commentary by Burjan Prabhu, so he was quoting Jiva Goswami, Sandarbha. So he was saying that the Lord, when he saw Kardama, actually tears came out of his eyes. Because Kardama was doing this penance and praying for a suitable wife on the order of his spiritual master, that is Lord Brahma. So he's not doing whimsically. So that actually melted the heart of the Supreme Lord and also, was pleasing. So that tears actually what this Bindu Sarovar. So we read from this purport that the bank, Kadama was standing, actually the Bindu Sarovar is formed from the tears of the Supreme Personality of God. So then Prabhupada writes, we have to align our desire one with the Lord. He talks about oneness. So there are two kinds of oneness, not the oneness of merging with the Supreme Personality, the Brahman. The oneness, first oneness is that everything here for the enjoyment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, we see the central theme of Bhagavad Gita that we want to satisfy the senses of Krishna. The sense gratification, we trying to enjoy independently, we get misery. But if we are able to satisfy the senses of Krishna, where we use everything in the service of Krishna, that is the oneness God is talking. And the second oneness is that we have the interest. Everyone have a certain interest. So if we can able to align our interest with the interest of the Lord, then we can able to be happy. Because when we serve, we have to understand the root again and again. Because the thing is, we see here that whatever you are at this moment, don't worry about anything. Just carry on and enjoy. Don't have to worry where you have come, what you are doing. That right now you have a facility, you have ability, you can afford it. Even it's funny that even if we can't able to afford that kind of thing, we somehow or other try to satisfy. Early days we see, if you have money, then you offer. Nowadays you can do without money also. You have a lot of credit card, you can get credit loan and so many things. One's ability, one's beyond his capacity, we can able to enjoy at this moment. So, but spiritually we have to understand who we are. So Krishna says we are the part and parcel of the Supreme. If we can understand this point, then by satisfying the whole, then the part and parcel get satisfied. So Prabhupada gives an example that a whole machine. So every part has to fit in the machine so that the machine, perform. Like for example, the hand. The hand cannot separately enjoy, this example. Because It, if it trying to enjoy, it has to die. Because the ant, if you separate from the body, there is no, then there is dead matter, because it is not with the body, because the ant gets nourishment by serving the body, by serving the stomach. So, and because Krishna consciousness in the desire, you know, in 5th chapter, end of 5th chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada also write in Prabhupada that the beginning Ashtanga Yoga, the process of controlling the desire, fear and anger, there is a process that you know, you have to close your eyes, not fully open, or you know, concentrate your you know, between your eyebrows. It's a difficult process. And Krishna consciousness is so simple, easy in a way. It is if we can able to engage our service in the service of Krishna, we can able to purify, and we can able to replace our material desire. So it is not possible for to be desireless. Only the dead body doesn't have any desire. But Prabhupada gives a definition for desirelessness. For desirelessness means that we should develop the desire to serve Krishna, to desire to be in Krishna consciousness, a desire to do spiritual activity which is directly related to in the service of Krishna. That is desirelessness. That means desirelessness means desire, one is not having the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So this is desirelessness. So if we can able to have that desire where we can able to serve, engage our senses and serve Krishna, then we can able to replace our material desire. Not only that, to understand in 11th chapter, Krishna, you know, saying, by devotional service only you can able to understand. So you understand or to see Krishna, we have to have devotion, so that we can able to understand Krishna. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, in Arjuna, his desire is not to fight. He doesn't want to fight. But later understanding that by the satisfying Krishna's desire is the ultimate. So Krishna's desire is you have to fight. So then Arjuna understood that and he able to fight with full foot ability. And in Bhagavad Gita we see in second chapter 7, you know, 70 verse 70 and 71, 70 is given analogy that a person is not disturbed if desire flows like a river, how the river is flowing towards the ocean, because the ocean is not disturbed by the incessant flow of rivers. The ocean is not coming out, it doesn't come out of the brink. Similarly, if a person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires in the heart, he alone have peace. Not the person who is trying to fulfill each and every desire. Yes, as long as we have this material body, there is a tendency to sense gratification. So, if we have, like for example, if you're driving, if you're driving, normally the car, you know, goes out of the way. It is default for the car, without catching the steering or without controlling the steering wheel, it is default for the car to you know, derail from the path and make accident. So similarly, naturally, if we have a material body, it's a natural tendency that we want to satisfy this body and indulge in sense gratification. But if we can able to control or, you know, engage in Krishna consciousness, then we can attain the perfect peace. So Prabhupada is saying, Krishna conscious person has the perfect peace. Because he understands his own who he is actually. So satisfying Krishna or satisfying the desire of Krishna is not whimsical. It is by transcendental knowledge coming by self-realization. It is not whimsically, okay, one has to do, okay, do it. No, it's not that. Because one understands his position. His position is that he is part and parcel of Krishna. So then by serving Krishna, then he can be able to progress and he is fulfilled and he is satisfied. So that is the main thing. So it is not a whimsical process that, okay, fine, we'll satisfy Krishna. No, because we understand who we are. And by connecting with Krishna, then we get attain the satisfaction. So we see here that the flow of desire, if already our heart is filled with bhakti. So if a glass is there, a glass is, you know, you're having a glass full of water and it is full. If you're trying to add more or anything, it doesn't hold because it's already full. So if our heart is full of bhakti, is already filled with all, you know, devotional service, then the person is already satisfied. Because he knows that everything belongs to Krishna. There is nothing belongs to me. Because the proprietorship, it comes when we trying to satisfy that it belongs to me. I am the owner of this. This is mine, me, my family, like the extended. So this proprietorship actually makes, you know, feel that we are the controller, doer. So if you understand that everything here is Krishna, not only that, this all energies. So Krishna says this, you know, Bhumi rapo nala vayur kam mana buddhi evacha. So we see Ankara ityame bhinna prakriti astada. So this separated energies, material energy, then this living entity is also, besides this, there is another energy of mind which is trying to exploit this material energy. That is this living, and it comprises of living entity. So we see these all are energies of Krishna. So when this energy is used in that person, then, you know, that is the one time you can understand this by one time they, you know, I think they asked Prabhupada that this world is made for enjoyment, like, you know. And Prabhupada replied that, yes, it is made for enjoyment, but not for your enjoyment. It is for Krishna's enjoyment this world is created. So we see how we can able to use these energies and everything, not considering for oneself, but for the service of Krishna. Then actually we are making everything spiritualized. So Prabhupada gives example of this microphone. So this microphone is energy. You can use in any, you know, mundane activities or for one sense gratification. But if it is used to amplify, you know, the glories of Krishna by doing kirtan or lecture, then we are actually spiritualizing these things. So similarly, if we can able to use our body in the service of Krishna, our senses in the service of Krishna, then we are spiritualizing our body. So this is our process of how we can purify and spiritualize our body in the service of Krishna. And this is a peace formula. Prabhupada writes that because you cannot get peace if we have unfulfilled desires. So if your desire is there and it is not fulfilled, then there is no question of peace. And the desire we have, we approach Krishna. There we see in Bhagavatam, who want wealth. For example, Dhruva Maharaj, he wants a kingdom. So he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Lord appeared, he was he wants to offer. You know, he paid obeisances and then embraced the Lord. Then he wants to do the prayers, but he cannot able to do it. So because the Lord is present as a Paramatma within the heart, so then he touched him with the conch. Then he started his prayers. So he was glorifying the Lord. Then the Lord gave the benediction. See, I understand your heart, because the Lord is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Then he said, you can rule this kingdom for 36,000 years and then you can come back to me. So similarly, like how we see Kardama, similarly the Lord then got into his Garuda, then he gone back. So he gave, he said, I'll give you Dhruva Loka, pole star, where even the rishis, all the other planets are revolving around that. So no one have ruled it, so I will give you that, which is great, which is not even destroyed at the time of inundation, where till the Brahmaloka is get destroyed. So even that time also that planet is present. So he's given a biggest position. Then after the Lord went, he was feeling so miserable. He was not completely satisfied at all. He was feeling so miserable. He was thinking, I am the most unfortunate person. How can I do this? And he was even complaining, only these demigods, they could have done. Because they are little envious of my position. They have disturbed my, thing. And he's also feeling, how I feel this duality. I had this duality that this small, my brother Uttama was getting into the lap of my father. I got disturbed. I'm thinking he is my enemy. These people, my king, my brother, these are all my enemies, I was thinking. How fool I am. The Lord was present in front of me. It took only 6 months for me to see the Lord. There are rishis and sages who took a life after life. By the other process, Ashtanga, it takes ages for them to at least come to the lotus feet of the Lord. But for me, it took only 6 months and I misused this opportunity. I was something which is very, very foolish. I could have easily asked him to cut my cycle from birth and death. Easily I could have asked. I asked something which is material. I'm so unhappy like that. He was feeling, because he understood the position. But the Lord, even though there was a slight desire in the beginning, he gave that award. But then finally he said, you will be liberated, you will come to me. So then even the celebration, is going on, his father came, mother, but even still he was, little unhappy. So we can see that then Prabhupada writes in that 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita, that the process of, changing this, whatever desires we have and approach the Lord to pure devotees is by association of pure devotees. Not only the four kinds of people who are coming towards Krishna, even they get transferred, not only that, the other four who are going away from Krishna, even those are get transferred to pure devotees by association of pure devotees. By the association of pure devotees is so powerful that even, that normal devotees who are having material desire is transferred into pure devotees. Because the pure devotees are always want to serve the Krishna, and the association actually influences our desires. The way how we want and we want to, it influenced by the way how whom we associate with. If we associate with the opposite, if you associate with a drunkard, you become drunk. So that's how the association is very important in terms of transferring the Sakama devotees to Akama devotees. Then here we see that Kardama is said, he is coming by himself to arrange a match for his daughter. So he didn't arrange any agent. Nowadays we see there's a lot of agent, there's a TV programs going on, and a matchmaking. And even in the purport, this section basically, the prayers, the response of the Supreme Lord, and the following chapter and section, Prabhupada writes purport of, Grahastha Ashram. Like, how to find a suitable husband, What is Grahastha? Who is called Grahastha? What is the difference between Grahastha and Grahamedhi? What is the duties of a Grahastha ashram? So many valuable insight. Explaining the Varnashram. And the another important point where, in the previous section, that is the Lord response, he said that Kardama, approach the Lord, and the grace of the Lord is very important. Because of the Kardama, he received the grace, that's how, the girl was beyond his expectation. So Prabhupada writes so that one should pray and get the blessing in each and every transaction what we do in our devotional service. And then the Lord instruct Kardama Muni that you be compassionate to other living entities. So this explanation that the compassion, Prabhupada write, the sannyasi and the householder both needs to have compassion. So the householder, the tendency is because they entangle, sannyasi actually approach them to get out of that entanglement. So by giving charity, by being compassionate to the saintly person, associate with them, then able to come out of the entanglement. So Prabhupada gives one important line, I'll read that. As long as one is not compassionate to people in general, in his devotional service to the Lord, he is a third class devotee. So Prabhupada, initially I also remember that we have the feeling when coming to Krishna consciousness that we see others as a karmi or people, how can they do like this, getting frustrated. There is no real genuine compassion. So we have respect for the deities or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but there is no respect for the devotees and even no compassion for the normal people. So this is the third class devotee. Prabhupada writes that everyone has to have that genuine compassion for the preaching purpose. And Prabhupada writes that the household, after coming, coming into Krishna consciousness, holds a program, speaks about the Krishna consciousness from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, do the preaching activities, and take guidance from sannyasi. So, because the sannyasi, the Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, the first quality to become sannyasi is fearlessness, because they have to go travel around and then give this Krishna consciousness without fear. War, right? Declaring war is a very tough, you're going and because it's a very threatening. Even you see, the devotees during early days, they have done such things which is very life threatening, someone has given their life as well. It's because they travel and they preach. And the association of a sannyasi to householder, they are giving this fearlessness to the householder. So Prabhupada writes, to award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity. This is a very powerful statement. So by the sannyasi traveling, them going to the houses, their duty of a householder to give charity, then the return, the sannyasi gives them fearlessness. Okay, you go preach. That's why this Bhakti Visha program, we have so much problem, neighbor problem, we cannot do kirtan for a long time, too many people coming, complain, so many impediments are there. It's not an easy thing, right, to start a program in a suburb. So by having this fearlessness, that complete shelter of Krishna, a sannyasi giving the charity to the common person, to the householder, So I heard there was one family, they were not very interested in any sannyasis or any charity. But this sannyasi used to come to their house every time. They shoo them, go away, go, you know, don't come here. Don't come here, don't go somewhere. So every time he was coming, but still with the persistent, you know, he was doing every day, going for Madhukari. And this person was really annoyed. So what they did is, that lady went into the kitchen and there was a burnt wood, ashes was there, already cooked. So she took that in a hand and then came out and then put it in the bowl of a sannyasi. Okay, take this and go. So then the sannyasi actually laughed. So he was saying, why, you know, how come you are laughing? I've done this such a kind of act, no one will laugh. But the sannyasi is saying, actually you have begun your devotion by giving this. So at least you have started in your heart that I have to give something. So that's how you have progressed in your bhakti. So this actually melted the heart of a Grahastha. So we can see, even the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they are not living by begging. You know, it's not their profession or whatever. You know, it comes one. You know, in the case of Sanatan Goswami, it is Madan Mohan was taken care by a different family, and he was a little bit upset with them how they treat the deities. So he went and said, you should not do like this and all. Then that day night, Madan Mohan said, you know, you told like this, I'll be with you. Because, you know, I'll stay. Then Sanatan Goswami said, see, I don't get enough. I do Madhukari, whatever I get, I'll offer. He said, okay, I'll okay with that. So then he go for Madhukari, he gets some wheat, then he make that bati round, and then, you know, put it in the fire, outside is burned, and that's what he eat. So it was going for some days, and then Madan Mohan saying, you know, at least give salt, you know. At least put some salt in this, you know. Then Sanatan Goswami said, no, that's why he said, I will not take you. You go, I don't have salt and all. I only can give this. So he said, okay. Then he arranged that salt merchant. Then he, you know, helped and built the Madan Mohan. So we can see that. So whatever it comes, you know, they are happy and satisfied. There is no hankering or there is no lamentation. So we can see from the life of Goswamis. Even though they are very aristocratic, very highly governmental jobs, prime minister, finance minister, jamindar, son, learned, scholar. They are happy with whatever simple food or, you know, drops of yogurt. I can say Raghunath Goswami's life. And living in a tree, under the tree every day. So they are fully satisfied, material things or material desire not affected. So we, then Prabhupada, then the previous day say Ajok Saja, like, you know, the Lord is beyond the perception of material senses. But by purifying the senses, we can able to perceive the Lord. And this purpose, you can see that the elderly, that the parents responsible is to take care of, you know, giving in marriage. And so in Bhagavad Gita, you can read this section, that in first chapter, that Varna Shankara theme, and how, because the elderly members are very responsible for the purifying the process, like for tradition and rituals, Not just a ritual, but there is to be a substance which is a spiritual knowledge. If they are not able to do, then the younger generation are involved in the irreligious activity. So we see the role of parents is very important in the child. And again, there is a other side is there, that one, if he is doing a devotional service, one is not obliged to fulfill the obligation of different parents and other relatives. So for example, pinda, because it is automatically counted, you know, fulfilled by doing devotional service to Mukunda. And it is very important, because the children and women are both vulnerable, because the children are prone to misled and the women are prone to degradation. So the protection is given in every part of their life. When they are young, then the father is giving protection. Here you can see the example of Kada, you know, Swayambhuva Manu. He is taking personal interest for arranging the husband for Devahuti, and then later, you know, the husband, and then at the and the last stages, then the son. Okay, I'll just stop here and just check if any correction, comments, addition, question. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Actually, Bhujan Prabhu writes this in the Charandran to me as well. In the section of where question is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to Gaya to give pinda to forefathers. So for that, Prabhu writes in the such way that for that question, that's why Prabhupada writes in the purport that is one is not obliged to do. But another same time, any Mahaprabhu is coming a bhakta rupa, a devotee, you know, common setting an example. For example, we do some process and rituals here in temple. One should not artificially, you know, claim that he is a pure devotee and dependent on the Lord. One has to do that certain ritual timingly to understand that, okay, I've done the part. But the one should have that knowledge that Krishna is the ultimate controller. But we have to set proper rituals. So for example, without knowing proper understanding and knowledge, just performing ritual will not make any progress in devotion. I'll give you an example. So we have in India this Ganapati Puja, this 10-day festival Dasara, 5-day festival of Ganapati. They're making this Ganapati Vigraha, which is look like a sports personality, looks like a, you know, Hollywood actor, this with the arrow. They're doing this. But at the end of the 5th day, what, the people are more devoted? No. More fight, more conflict. They're having more problem in the society. Because they're doing a ritual without a proper understanding, or their devotion is not increased by ritual. So we're doing arati in the temple, we are offering. So, but we have this understanding that everything Krishna is given to us, and it is a token of gratitude and reciprocation that we are giving back to Krishna with love. So when we do that with that understanding, then your connection with deities or with connection, you know, your devotion automatically increases, because you are offering back to Krishna. because that thought is actually counted, not just an activity. So we are doing the offering, we are making bhoga. We are having the thought that we have to offer to Krishna. Krishna will be hungry. So this thought actually counts. It makes a big sense. So if we do just the ritual, it will be dry. If you don't have the proper backup of... So for example, here we do the last rite ceremony. We give Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad offered to deities, or we offer to the forefathers, or that is how the pinda usually. The Mahaprasad offered to the forefathers, even if they don't have a proper body, gross body, at least they get liberated from that difficulty. So, and you can also read that section, Surrender unto me, last, that 39 verse onwards, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. So, yeah, that's why Prabhupada writes the purport that he quote that 11th canto Bhavatam, that verse, that one should know, one is not obliged to do certain activity, like, you know, the kind of ritual activity, if you have already doing devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Did that answer your question? Desires are not fulfilled then? Desire, material desire or material desire? Then desire, because sometimes we have desire to do spiritual activity, but it may not be fulfilled. That is okay, because it is like we have desire, but we are not independent. We have already have this guidance of Guru, Shastra, and devotees, and we can express our desire, but because they are, he said, the pure devotees are like, they are beyond these modes of material nature, and they can see clearly. If we have a desire, but they can see clearly whether it is tainted with any modes in it, or any reciprocation of fruitive activities, so they can correct us. But on the case of material desires, it's just purely that I want to enjoy. Prabhupada writes that this unfulfilled desire, even the karmis, yogis, or Ashtanga path, everyone, they are frustrated because they have a desire which you want to merge into the Lord, or you want to certain puja, then I get returned back. So that may not happen, so they get frustrated because they have the desire to enjoy separately. But if we have, say, for example, spiritual desire, and if you want, say, for example, we want to pray and remove some anarthas, so this is a good way. At least we are having some spiritual desire to satisfy Krishna. But at the same time, our desires has to be given to our Shiksha, Diksha Guru, express our desire, and they can able to, because it is sometimes it is difficult. We read some and then we trying to have that desire, like Raghunath Goswami or some Goswami's life, if you read it, they are in that platform, so they can perform bhakti in that way. We can immediately jump into and then not eating or having only few or chanting more rounds, like chanting good, but I want to chant 64 rounds tomorrow onwards, with jumping into like with a proper level, then it may be we feel bad, because that's how we have to see our desires out. And also when we submit this desire to our seniors or you know our who is guiding us, they can able to help us. They can able to you know give a proper direction. That's what I feel like that. And most of the time, if we have desire to serve devotee, whatever you know they are saying, that itself a big step. Our desire is that I want to serve Vaishnava Seva. I want to serve a devotee, whatever you say, okay. We can see that that's what Kardama is doing here. Brahma is saying, okay, do it. He didn't even ask, you know, okay, I want, no, he straight away. Then further down, if you see that's the section, Kardama gave birth and he just walked away. Then, you know, Devahuti couldn't able to control him. She was feeling bad. And then Brahma came and then said, you know, you have to go back and then, you know, gave birth to a boy. Then he said, yes sir, I will do it. That's it. So Prabhupada write in that section that he was completely, you know, a first class disciple because he just do whatever his spiritual master said. Not even asking any suggestion or comments or question, you know, telling, oh no, maybe I can do like, I want to like do like this. No, he was just, you know, okay, thank you. Just do it. So, but again, that is a high state.
Yes, when you mentioned if the heart is full of bhakti, then there won't be any space for desires.
Yeah.
Until you reach that stage where your heart is full of bhakti and you have desires, how do you overcome that?
So, yeah, we have to do what you're doing, chanting, associate with devotees, have prasad. It is a very slow process. I mean, it is not done in overnight. So our first we have to bring Krishna into our heart. So bringing Krishna into our heart means like light. So dark, you know, deep dark. We don't know first of all what is there in our heart. So we need torch to see like a room. If it is a dark room, you may not know what is there in the room. So first you have to switch on the light. So when you put the light, you know, okay, these guys are sitting here. First I have to vacate this guy. So bringing first wave as we go further, then we can able to identify our anathas clearly. And it come, you know, even the retreat we see, the process itself, you know, brings all the dirty things to the surface and it comes in the front. Very confronting situation. So one should not be very disheartened with that. So as the time goes, then we can able to fill our heart with Krishna. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.